I'm John Bays, and I'm president of John C. Bays & Associates, which is a Falls Church, Virginia-based international trade consulting firm.
Okay, so you have your eye on what's happening out in the countryside, but as well as on the policy side in D.C.
Absolutely. I try to watch it. I, at one time, spent a lot more time working on policy than I do today, and today I've kind of learned over time that while policy is critical, that even more is what's happening in a global marketplace, because it's the marketplace that's determining what farmers get. 55% of the soybeans grown in the U.S. now ultimately are exported, and that doesn't include the soybean meal that's used to feed the meat, produce the meat that we're exporting.
Right, and let's talk about that, the worldwide demand. You had some very interesting statistics about China and other areas.
Well, yes. I mean, one of the things I start off by showing the audience is that since 1990, global demand for soybeans are up over 150%. Corn's up about 84%, wheat about 20%, rice about 20%, and cotton has been very variable, but still below 30%. The reason that soybean growth has been so much greater is because we've seen growth in per capita income and throughout Asia, parts of the Middle East. And that has meant that people had more money in their pocket, and they wanted to improve the quality of their diet. So they immediately moved to put more vegetable oil in their diet to improve the taste and texture of their food. But even more importantly, they wanted more poultry, more meat, more pork, more farm-raised fish, eggs, other things in their diet because they wanted to eat better. And that's meant that we had to really use a lot of soybean meal to increase the productivity of our animals to supply that animal protein.
And yet you mentioned soybean meal has domestic demand has gone down.
Yes, domestic demand for soybean meal has gone down by about 4 million metric tons. And the reason that's been down, it's about 13%. And the reason is because we've seen little growth in our livestock sector, but conversely, we've seen a lot of distillers dried grain come out of all the ethanol plants, which have moved into the feed market and displaced soybean meal.
But on the whole, demand for soybeans, your point was, is there. Farmers shouldn't worry about that.
That's right. Demand is there. Now, it's increasingly more in the export market than in the domestic market. But we have the demand out there. In fact, we've had, if we look at what's happened in the last 3 or 4 years, where we had prices $15, $16 soybeans, that didn't occur out of a vacuum. It occurred because the global demand was continuing to grow when we had some weather problems. The demand is there. The biggest limiting factor for demand of soybeans in the world in the last 5 years has been supply, not demand. So if we had had more demand supply out there in the world, we would have even consumed more soybeans.
Okay, so given that, Illinois producers, U.S. producers of soybeans can meet that supply need.
That's correct. They're not probably going to expand the area planted to soybeans, although they probably should in certain respects to even out their rotations with corn to reduce their vulnerabilities and to also offset some disease and insect problems. But what they can do is raise their average yields. I'm convinced that if the farmers in Illinois paid as much attention to maximizing their yields on soybeans as they do to corn, we could very easily raise the state average yield in Illinois by at least 10 bushels an acre. That is very possible. We know what the yield potential is. It's a question of how much farmers are willing to invest their time and some money to maximize those yields. But at $12 beans, you can certainly afford to invest some money.
What are the keys to that?
I think variety selection, number one, make sure that you're selecting the right way. Other thing is the planting population. Well, how many are you planting? Fertility. Are you putting the right fertilizers down that would allow you to maximize yield potential? I think it's also things like micronutrients. It's probably also certainly using a fungicide and making sure that you have the enough treatment of insecticide to deal with some of these emerging problems like soybean aphids, but also bean leaf beetles and others. Just all-around package of what do they need to do to allow that soybean plant to have the least possible stress and so they can produce the maximum amount of soybeans.
Okay, now we've got some domestic problems with potential problems with shipping, with the Mississippi River. The drought certainly caused a lot of concern recently. How big of an impact is that going to have? I mean, you can grow the beans, but you got to get them out.
Well, I think that the low water levels that we had on the Mississippi this year were a sort of a freak situation of too dry. I think we quickly forget that the previous year our problem was we had too much water in the Mississippi with the flooding. I think we'll be back to a normal situation most likely in the years ahead. What's really troubling to me is, though, that we're not spending the money that was needed to upgrade and maintain our locks and dams on the Mississippi, Illinois, and Ohio rivers. Those things are critical to being able to get our crop efficiently to the Gulf for export terminals. And if we lose a lock because of something happens because of poor maintenance, let's assume you lose lock 26 or 27 on the Mississippi, which are below the Illinois River entrance to the Mississippi. That means that Illinois and the Mississippi north of there are shut down until that happens. That means we're going to have to rail below the locks to some terminal. We're going to have to rail to the Gulf, and that means drove our production, transportation costs through the roof and limited our ability to timely respond to needs of foreign buyers. So we have to invest in those locks and dams. That's key.
Spending is not the mood in Washington right now.
Well, and I think that's right. I mean, Washington right now is dominated by people who are looking short-term toward re-election. And they're not putting their effort that they into and their resources into dealing with issues that are long term. And that's why I think that some in agriculture are saying, you know, we can't depend on Washington. We need to look at how can we in agriculture, either through one means or another, begin to help finance those improvements on the river systems ourselves, because we can't count on government to do it for us.
Anything else you'd like to add?
I just think that if farmers will think about it, they're working to try to maximize their soybean yields. Does two things. One is increases their efficiency, probably cuts their average per bushel cost of production. Certainly I think it will. But it also means that we'll grow more and allow the United States to be a bigger participant in the future growth in demand. And it's the one thing they can do that don't help their competitors. If they work on trying to maximize their own yields, it doesn't help the producer in Argentina and Brazil like new technology does, which helps all.